Would you go for a walk with me down a dusty road today to a city called Emmaus? Cleophas and another disciple did, so I'd like us to do it too. And as we're walking down this road, so many things had happened over the last 3 years, and especially over the last week. Because the day that they walked down this road was the day that they heard some amazing news. Their master had disappeared. He was gone. These women had gone to the tomb and it was empty. I don't understand. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. Imagine what was going through their minds. What a week. We often say, what a week I'm having. What a week. Did not our master ride into Jerusalem? Did they not put down palm leaves? Did we not sing Hosanna? Were we not hopeful? Our hearts filled with joy? Was he not the one? And as they were walking, Jesus drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, right? It's almost like being slapped in the face. "What? Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these last days? Were you just under a rock, right?" And Jesus said to them, "What things? What things?" And of course, they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, and he did mighty deeds. Don't you remember him speaking?" And the leaders all getting angry, and everyone was amazed at what he said. "Do you remember Lazarus? He raised Lazarus from the dead. Do you remember that? Didn't you see that? Didn't you hear? What about Peter's mother-in-law? She was sick. And then the wedding. Weren't you at the wedding when he turned water into wine? Weren't you there and the best wine came out last? Didn't you hear about that? And what about the man who was lowered down into the house and Jesus healed him? And he said, your sins are forgiven you." What? Who would say that? Didn't you hear about that? And our rulers, boy, they hated him. Why? How could you hate a man who does such good things and says such good things? Why? We were confused. Our leaders, they got worse and worse. And then they wanted to kill him. And they did. Do you remember? Do you remember that they took him away? They took our master away. And you know what they do. They punished him. I don't even like to speak of it. When they whipped his back, most people die from that. And our master didn't. The pain he must have suffered. And he lived. And I heard they mocked him. And they beat him. All those centurions, Those centurions can just be brutal. I've seen them. I've seen what they do. Oh, and that Judas. Can you believe it? He walked with our master for 3 years. And he betrayed him. He betrayed him. How is that even possible? Why would you do that? And then they took him and they put him on a cross. And I couldn't even look. We had to stand so far away. What a terrible sight. And our master hung there. Just like a criminal. Just like a criminal. Why? What did he do? But we had hoped that he was the one that would redeem Israel. And now the hope is gone. What are we to do? What are we to do? But what happened this morning? It was amazing. The women, they come back from the tomb and they say it's empty. Come on. But then Peter and John go running over there and they see it's empty too. I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know what to believe. Did somebody steal him? There were Roman guards there. There were guards. There's no way. There's no way. But that's what they said. That's what they said. They said there were angels. Seen a vision of angels. And the angel said that he was alive. I've heard of angels visiting people before. An angel visited Mary. That's what they said. An angel visited Joseph. That's what he said. It's possible. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. I just don't. And then our master said, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should also suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Sorry, I got the sniffles now. "In beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them to the scriptures in all the things concerning himself." And what a sermon that was. Maybe it went like this. "Cleophas, do you not remember when sin entered the world? Do you not remember how the serpent deceived the woman and then she gave to the man and sin entered the world? But do you not remember the promise of Genesis 3:15, where it says, 'And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel.' Was it not God's first promise that he would send a Savior? And did he not speak through Moses, his servant, in Deuteronomy 18:15, saying, 'Jehovah your God will raise up to you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brothers, one like me, to him you shall listen.' There's one coming, just like Moses. And you revere Moses, Cleophas. Micah 5:2 says, 'And to you, Bethlehem Ephratah, you being the least of the thousands of Judah, out of you he shall come forth to me to become ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from the days of eternity, or from everlasting.'" This one who is coming, do you remember? Do you remember the word that I have spoken? "So the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Remember those stories, Cleophas? Of the birth of the one, this child? Do you remember all the two-year-olds and younger who died because of this one? You remember those stories. So says Jehovah, a voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her sons. She refuses to be comforted for her sons because they are not. Do you remember? Do you remember? But then someone came when it seemed hope was lost. The voice of him who cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of Jehovah, make straight the highway in the desert of our God. Who was that, Cleophas? Who was it? That was John. That was John. I remember. But they beheaded John. Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger and he will clear the way before me. Do you remember what John said? Do you remember what John said? Behold, the Lamb of God. Yes, that's right. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He was talking about our master. But our master's dead. Isaiah 11, a shoot goes out from the stump of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of Jehovah shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Jehovah. That's who our master was. That's who our master was. Behold my servant who I hold, my elect in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him and he shall bring judgment out to the nations. Didn't the Spirit of God come down and sit on our master? I remember. I remember. And our Father spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son. I remember. I will raise them up a prophet, Deuteronomy 18, from among their brethren, one like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I shall command him. And did our master not speak amazing words? Oh, he confounded those leaders. I even heard that when he was 12, he was asking questions, and they were amazing, and people were amazed in the synagogue. They were amazed. Even from a young boy, his words, they weren't words that I would ever speak. They weren't my words. Psalm 110, Jehovah has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. He was a priest. He served. He ministered. That's who our master was. He gave. And he sacrificed. Psalm 2:6, yea, I have set my king on my holy hill on Zion. I remember what it said on the cross. King of the Jews. We had hoped he would have been king. He's dead now. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is righteous and victorious, meek and riding on a donkey, even a colt, the son of a donkey. See, that just happened. We were there. We saw it, and we had hoped that he would have been anointed king. And we couldn't believe the crowd. They began to chant, crucify him, crucify him. And we couldn't believe the hate, like out of nowhere. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is on me because Jehovah has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Preach the acceptable year of Jehovah. Do you remember that? Cleophas, do you remember? When he stood up in the temple and he read that, and then he sat down and he said, these words are fulfilled in your hearing. Do you remember that? Oh, did they get mad? And everybody was like, what? He's the Messiah. He was the Messiah. That's what we thought. That's what we thought. That's what he said. Isaiah 35, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like deer and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness water shall break out and streams in the desert. You remember John's almost last words? Is it you or should we look for another? But remember all the things that he did. He made the lame walk and the blind to see. It had to be him. It had to. I don't get it. I don't understand. Psalm 78, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will speak dark sayings of old. That's right. There came a time when he started speaking in parables. And then he would teach us afterwards. Remember? Do you remember? No one had ever done that before. Psalm 41, even a man, my friend, whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Oh, if I could just get Judas, I'm glad he hung himself. I'm glad. What he did, just wrong. How could you do that to our master? How could you do that? But that's what it said. Zechariah, and I said to them, if it is good, give me my price. And if not, let it go. So they weighed my 30 pieces of silver. And Jehovah said to me, throw it to the potter, the magnificent price at which I was valued by them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw it to the potter in the house of Jehovah. I remember them saying that. That's all Jesus was worth to him. 30 pieces of silver. He's worth everything. Now he's gone. Zechariah 13, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man who is my companion, says Jehovah of hosts. Strike the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand on the little ones. We were terrified. We didn't know what to do when they took him. And Peter, poor Peter, he denied him. I don't know how he's feeling. We'll see him as we travel. We'll get to where they're at, the 11. And we'll talk to him. That we were scared. We don't know what's going to happen. Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and his sheep before its shears is dumb, yet he opened not his mouth. Isn't it interesting? We had been taught for so long from children that our Messiah would never die, that he would never suffer, that he would come and he would break the back of the Romans, so that we could be free. Our leaders were so expectant that he would just be like one of them. What is this saying? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. What does that mean? He had to suffer. Our Messiah, our Master, had to suffer. Didn't he say he was going to be given into the hands of wicked men? Didn't he say that? I remember. Zechariah 13, and one shall say to him, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he shall answer, those are with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. They took him away. They took him away at night. I heard they had a trial, a mockery. It was a mockery, Cleopas, a mockery. It wasn't real. And they did this to him. His own people did this to him. Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to the pluckers. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Psalm 22, all who see me mock me. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted in Jehovah. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, since he delights in him. Psalm 109, my knees stumble from fasting and my flesh is losing its fatness. And I become a shame unto them. They looked on me and they shook their heads. Oh, how they treated him. How they treated him. And they even mocked him when he was on the cross. They laughed. And they scorned him. And they shamed him. I don't think it's funny. It's not right. He never did anything to them. He never did anything to anybody except love them. Psalm 22 again, and you have brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have circled around me, the band of spoilers have hemmed me in, piercers of my hands and feet. Zechariah chapter 12, and they shall look on me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be bitter over him as the bitterness over the firstborn. Bad people deserved the cross. And yet, what did they do to him? They nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. They pounded him in. Who? Why? I don't understand. Isaiah 53. Therefore I will divide to him with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul to death, and he was counted among the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That almost sounds like hope. Because someone who's dead can't divide the spoil. I don't understand that. Maybe the women are right. Maybe they're right. Maybe the tomb is empty. Maybe the tomb is empty. Psalm 31:5, into your hand I will commit my spirit. He said that. That's what they said. He said that on the cross. What does that mean? Who? Who did he commit his spirit to? Who? I don't know. What is he talking about? His Father? He often talked about his Father. We don't talk about God like that. We would never call God our Father. But he did. He called God his Father. Even on the cross. Even on the cross. Ah. Daniel 9:26. After 60 and 2 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Why did he die? Our Messiah is dead. Our Master is dead. But it says not for himself. Why? Why did he do that? He was wounded for our transgressions. Us? We're Israel. We're his nation. We're his people. We're going to heaven anyway. That's what our leaders tell us. Because we're part of the nation, we're going. And what about all the lambs that have been sacrificed? What does that mean? What does that do? Does it do anything? But he was the Lamb of God. That's what John said. Was it for me that he died? Was it for me? Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. How wicked am I? Did the Romans really put him there? Or did I? So he had to die. Our master had to die. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Pharisees, they look down on us. Do you remember the story? I am glad I am not as this sinner. Maybe they're not leading us correctly. Maybe we need to look at the Word of God instead. Amos 8, verse 9, in that day, says the Lord Jehovah, I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the light of day. Oh my, do you remember that? Do you remember that? When Jesus was on the cross, it got dark. It got dark. God did that. God did that. Isaiah 53, and he put his grave with the wicked and with the rich one in his death, although he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Who were those guys, Nicodemus and Joseph? Didn't they take him off the cross? And they put him in a tomb, in a rich man's tomb, where no one had ever laid before. Oh my. Psalm 16, for you will not leave my soul in hell. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. But that's David. David said that. Yeah, but the tomb is empty. That's what the women said. That's what Peter said. That's what John said. Maybe he's not there. Maybe he is risen. Oh, man. Psalm 30, oh, Jehovah, you have brought up my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive so that I should not go down into the pit. There's something going on. There's something going on. So by this time, the village is right there. We're almost there. And it seemed like our friend was going to travel on. We said, no, please, stay with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. And I'll tell you what, their minds must have been reeling with all the information, with all the scripture, with everything that Jesus had told them. Remember, they didn't know who it was. And I love what it says. So he went in to stay with them, And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Now imagine all the things that they have been through and the emotional roller coaster that they had just ridden. And there was, for people like that, I mean, we look back and our minds process things because we can see what happened. But this was their life. They lived it. And they must not have been able to comprehend it. But the scriptures, they opened their eyes. They showed them a story that maybe they had forgotten. Because the troubles and the tears of life tend to push out the things that are important sometimes. But especially in this case, because they had lost the one, or so they thought. They had lost the one that they loved, the one that they followed, the one that they thought would redeem Israel, the one whom they trusted, the one who was everything to them. And they had lost him. Or he wasn't really lost, was he? He was taken away. He was taken away from them with violence. And now their eyes are open. And there stands before them Jesus. And I'll tell you what, the flood of emotion must have been great. How do you process that? Everything that you hoped for had crashed and burned, and now there he is. And I love what it says. And they said to each other, oh, and then he vanished from their sight. Okay, did I see a ghost? Was this just an apparition? But it says that their hearts burned within us while he talked to us on the road and when he opened the scriptures. Hope was rekindled. Hope was real. Sometimes the bad things in our lives drag us down, and we lose sight of what's most important. The resurrection of Christ is the ultimate of hope. It gives us a hope not just for today, but for the future and eternity. And there is nothing, nothing greater than that. And it was all in the breaking of the bread. When he broke the bread, he showed them who he was. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Could you imagine they had just walked all day? Because it was evening, and the day is far spent. And he was at the table, and he took the bread, and their eyes were open, and they immediately went back. They immediately went back to Jerusalem. They were like, let's go. Because we have to tell people about this. He's not dead. Our master is alive. The women were right. John was right. That tomb is empty, even though they might not know the full story. And we know a little later on in this chapter, Jesus does appear to them all in that room where they were cowering. Jesus is alive. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. That's our Savior. And maybe that's how the story goes. We can ask him when we get there. But what a story it was of history, of scripture, of remembrance. There were probably tears. There was amazement. There was confusion. There were all those things for these disciples. Oh, to have been on that road and heard what was said. But I'm glad and I'm thankful that our Lord lives. We don't serve a dead king, a dead savior, a dead prophet, a dead priest. He's not entombed or encased like some other rulers are. They didn't embalm him. He's not on ice. He's alive, waiting to come back and take us home. Where is our hope today? Our hope should not be in any human, in any government, in any law. We only have one hope, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who's alive. I love the fact that this story shows despair to hope, to joy, to peace, because that's how sometimes we live. And Easter is a time of hope. It's a time of renewal. It's a time of rebirth. It's a time of change. It's a time to start over. It's a time to get back on the road. It's a time to do the right thing. Because Jesus Christ is alive. And it's the right thing. Father, thank you so much for such a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these disciples and their example. And thank you, Lord, for walking with them and not treating them badly, but having compassion and ministering to them, ministering to their hearts. Their hearts were broken, and they were blessed. Please help them. They sit with you now. It's where we want to sit. And Lord, help us. Help us to obey. Help us to be encouraged through your word. Help us to be encouraged by the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing he sits on the right hand of the throne on high. He intercedes for us. He ministers to us. He has given us his spirit to dwell within us. And no matter what happens on this planet, as we walk down that dusty road towards our destination, he walks with us, whether we recognize it or not. Because sometimes we forget. And yet he kindly and gently and softly whispers to our hearts, I am with you even to the end of the age. Lord, let us have a blessed day, this Easter day, with our families or whoever. And let us just have a time of remembrance, time of fellowship. But let us carry forth as servants of God and all those things. Bless Calvary. Bless the prayer requests like Al and Charlene and those that are sick with COVID. Jake's friends, family with the loss and all the different things they're struggling with. And even those things that are in our hearts that we struggle with. Minister to each one. Send us off with your blessing. And we give you great praise. In Jesus' name, amen.